Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to the Nacho Show. In this episode, we will talk about the importance of women in office. We will analyze those benefits and certainly the way our country goes with women in charge. Obviously, there are two sides of the spectrum because you may want to choose one woman over another one because of your side of politics. Would you do that? What's the difference? This and more here at the Nacho Show, and we do have here a fantastic guest today, and her name is Kathy Hall. How are you?
Good.
Katie, today. Sorry.
Yep, that's all right. I spell it differently, so.
Yeah, I was kind of like expecting, you know, like the H kind of like in there. I was like, oh, maybe there's a typo, but no, it's not. But this is fantastic. Thank you so much for being here with me at the Nacho Show. It's definitely a pleasure and an honor to have you here. Thanks. And my intention here with having you here is I want to support you in your endeavor of becoming a House of Representatives, which we definitely need somebody that's definitely, you know, capable of doing things and being careful with how things are being elected, you know, as far as passing bills that will help the constituents in the House District number 10, correct?
11.
Oh, 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for being here. And I just want to be able to have you introduce yourself here very briefly, and then we will go ahead and continue with the topic.
Okay. Well, my name is Katie Hall, and I'm running for House District 11, which is kind of takes in the southern part of Weber County and the northern part of Davis County. I just to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm a mother of four boys. They are grown up now. I have three that are married and one that is serving a service mission from home. Nice. He's 18. Yeah. And I have one grandbaby too that we just had this year on February 14th. It's awesome. I love it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's so fun. It's a new chapter. And I love it. But having boys and them being kind of all grown up and on their own, I have a lot of time on my hands right now. And I'm really passionate about all these issues that are facing us these days. And so I just thought, why not jump in and do something more? Part of my background, I'm a registered nurse. So I've been in the nursing field for 23 years, and I've worked the last 10 years at Ogden Regional in Washington Terrace over here. And I work part-time. So PRN is what we call it. So I just work maybe 5 shifts a month. And I've kind of done that all while raising my kids, just working a few hours here and there. Because for me, my important thing was being at home with my kids and raising them and being at those crossroads for them. And I also, so I was PTA president. I've been on community councils for the junior high and high schools, deciding where trust land funds go in our school. And that was a really fun and interesting thing to do. I've also coached tennis at Bonneville High School for 12 years. My last year coaching, and I coached 12 seasons of boys tennis and 9 seasons of girls tennis. So, I love that. I have a very athletic background. I grew up playing sports and was kind of a tomboy as a kid, and I just love. That's part of my passion too, is just being healthy and exercising. And my hobby passion right now is that I like to run Ironmans, which is kind of crazy, I know, but something I really like to do, and it keeps me healthy and keeps me working out. My husband is awesome, an awesome man. We're married. This is our 30th year of marriage. And
wow, congratulations.
Together. Yep, we did undergraduate. He's a physician for Ogden Clinic. He's an orthopedic surgeon.
Nice. And
I can blame him a little bit for why I decided to join this race, because he, 2.5 years ago, we decided together, but he wanted to give back to this country. Mm-hmm. And he decided to join the Navy Reserves as a physician. Mm-hmm. He really wanted to give back and show his appreciation and gratitude for this amazing country and all that he's been blessed with. And he thought, I can do this. I have a skill that is needed in the military right now to help put back together our men and women in service, if he's ever needed to. Hopefully not, but if he's needed to, then he's willing and ready to go. So
absolutely. That's anyway, fantastic.
That's background on me. So
but that's fantastic. It is definitely, like I said, you know, great to have you here. And you running for office. So the first question that I'm going to ask here is that, well, besides, you know, what you and your husband, talked about and, considered this to be something to serve your country, going by running for office. So what other traits or what other things made you decide to run for office?
Yeah. So like I said a little earlier too, and you touched on it, just I felt like our current representative is a nice man. I have no issues with him personally. He's a very nice man. But I just feel like some of the things that he's sponsored and voted for in the past few years and I mean, almost the whole time, but especially in the past few years that pricked up my ears. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like it was representing the conservative values that I voted him in for and that the people in his constituency voted him in for. And didn't seem like anybody was standing up. Mm-hmm. So I decided to stand up and do that. I signed up to get signatures because I felt like I didn't know, like I wanted to get to know the people in the area. And so I signed up signatures. I got over 400 signatures by myself, door to door, going door to door. And my husband got another over 250 by himself as well. Oh. And so really got to know kind of the people in the area and the concerns that people have. And there was a lot of people that were feeling the same way as I was. So I was, kind of emboldened by that and just decided to really run with it.
Absolutely. That's great. So the topic of today that we'll be talking about the importance of women in office. And I think I mentioned this before in other episodes, definitely women have a different approach to politics, I think. I would say that it is a fantastic way to run our country. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I'm going to make a very funny analysis here because, we as guys, you know, I guess, I don't know, we look at, you know, different things in different certain ways, and women are more focused. They're like more like laser type of, you know, they go way too much into detail and things like that. So I don't know, that's how I see it. And it's something super funny that happens is that I don't know, I told my wife one day, is that, oh yeah, I remember when I was in kindergarten, I did this, and that. And then my wife looks at me kind of like funny, because she's like, how come you remember things you did back in the 80s? Well, you don't remember anything I talked to you about 5 minutes ago.
Right.
You know? So I don't know. I think a thing, you know, women are super smart, and definitely they have more of a caring heart, you know, towards things that they stand for and things that they want to accomplish. So I think that they put way too much heart, you know, in what they do. I don't know. I think.
Well, what's your opinion? And I think that's a good thing that we have, you know, and you can't overgeneralize, obviously, like, you know, men versus women, but I think women do have a maybe a different approach to things than men, and that's okay. Like, and I think that's why it's so beautiful to have a variety of people down in the legislature, men and women, and a variety of different vocations that people come from too, because we need people that are lawyers down there. We need people that are, you know, and I know there's a lot of people in real estate down there. And I feel like that's something that I can bring is my healthcare background. And healthcare is a very, you know, it's a service oriented job. It's very, you know, compassionate and loving and but also very science minded and practical too. And so I think that is something that's maybe missing down. I know there's a few people in healthcare down there, but I think we could use definitely some more voices from that down there as well. So, but I love that there's a lot of women in politics, but I don't think, like, I would never want someone to vote for me just because I'm a woman, or not vote for me just because I'm a woman. Like,
correct.
Because I am qualified and because I know that I can give what it takes to the job, and I'm going to back up my promises with actual action, that I'm going to be the conservative that I say I am, and that I want to be that voice for the people. Vote for me for those reasons, not just because I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And which actually, you read my mind. that's how women are, you know, they read minds. So, and so that was exactly the same thing that I was going to actually say, you know, is that why would you just vote for somebody just because they're a certain gender, or just because they stand for certain politics? Now, with you know, if well, unfortunately, I was not elected to be a state delegate, you know, this term. Yeah. But maybe I may run for office later on.
That'd be awesome. Everybody, that's the beauty of our legislature and our government, is you don't have to have a law degree to work in the legislature and help make laws. Like, it's not a requirement. We need a variety of voices and a variety of cultures and genders and races. Everybody in there helps make America
great.
It helps make America what it is, of a country of all kinds of voices.
Exactly. Oh, I agree. I agree 100% on that. And one thing that I was going to bring up, you know, with a statement that we just talked about here, is there was somebody that got put into the Supreme Court. Her name is Ketanji Brown. Yeah. And we know what happened with that. And it is considered to be the first Black woman being in the Supreme Court. As far as I know, because I've been a U.S. citizen since 2009.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And I always have to brag about that. I did it the right way. And
that's the best.
I paid my fees.
Yes.
I paid my fees and everything like that. So yeah, but anyway, that's another story for another episode, I would say. Seeing the person that she is, and you and I are going to agree that the politics that are currently going on in our country are not benefiting it. And the people that are behind these politics, they listen, and I'm not being a conspiracy theorist here or anything like that. They listen to evil forces that really want to bring our country down. Mm-hmm. And they're making everything sound like they make it sound like it makes sense. They're making it sound, and there are so many things that are super racist from the left that they seduce people, and they make them believe those types of beliefs. Though, now I was watching a documentary on the Daily Wire, and I would definitely recommend everybody to subscribe to the Daily Wire. It was talking about how China and the Chinese Communist Party, they have infiltrated our government, our sports, and or even our educational system. You know, the rest of it is for you to go and do your research and everything like that. Yeah. I've done mine, and if it quacks like a dog, it is a duck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But and I'm gonna say, like Glenn Beck, you know, on his shows, is like, don't listen to me, you know, go and do research for yourself, and you know, make comparisons and everything like that, and make a conclusion. Wow. You know, and that's, you know, how I have done things. And oh my goodness, so, but anyway,
we definitely have to do our homework these days, for sure, because you can't just listen to one voice. You can't just listen to mainstream media, and you can't just listen to conservative media. You have to listen to both and make your own formulation. There's truth in both. There's truth in both sides, and it's a matter of weeding through that. I think sometimes we look at the mainstream media and you go home thinking, this world is so crazy. This is crazy. How are we ever going to survive in this? And then you just go home and you're with your neighbors and your friends and people of all variety, people of all colors, races, nationalities. And you're like, no, we're friends. We love each other and we respect each other. And we don't understand why it's being portrayed so badly in the media. And I think it is just, it's kind of just to pit people against each other. Mm-hmm. For votes and for, you know, some of this, the agendas that are going through, and we know better as citizens. We know that when we go home at the end of the day, it's our lives that we're living in, and it's our individual communities that are what matter, and we need to be willing and able to fight for that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the really cool thing is that I saw, you know, about you, you know, speaking about you and your candidacy, which if you're watching, if anybody here in the Weber County area is watching the show, vote for Katie Hall.
Yeah, I agree.
So speaking about your candidacy, mm-hmm. is that you saw what the issues were, you know, in your community. You saw what type of decisions were being made, and you're a full conservative, and you do have your beliefs, and you know what really needs to happen as far as making decisions is concerned, you know, for your district. So therefore, you took a stand, and you're running for it, and I definitely applaud you for that. Same thing that I told Jill Cofford when she was here in my show, is that, you know, the issues were there, and she took a stand, and you know, and that's the reason why she's running now. Now my point is here is that we need to go get up and fight. You know, our country is in trouble, and our state is in trouble.
Yeah,
in deep trouble.
I agree.
Because we do have, and like I said, you know, other forces, and, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know. I want to get into details, but at the same time, I'm like,
No, and I agree. I think that we kind of, and I'm guilty of this too, in that, you know, I voted because I was telling you, I voted for Kelly because I thought, oh, he's on the conservative ticket. He's on the Republican ticket. I can trust that he's going to be conservative and vote for things that I would want, that I and the community would want. And we really can't do that anymore. We have to be willing to do the work to get out and vet candidates and see, do they really align with what we believe? And part of why I'm doing this too, win or lose, that doesn't matter to me. The job, I know I can do the job and I know I can do it better than it's being done. Let's get that out there. But win or lose, I'm still going to stay involved in what goes on, in what's going on, and try to help people to be aware as well and wake people up. And I think we hear that term silent majority a lot. Can't be silent anymore. We can't. We have to stand up and we have to get loud. And I'm not saying get loud and obnoxious. I am not an advocate for rude comments, calling names to silence people and shame people. That's what the other side does. I am not advocating for that at all. I think we just need to stand up and let our voices be heard and be kind and compassionate to people who are struggling, because there's a lot of that. There's a lot of struggles, but we all have to deal with issues in our lives. You know, we can't just make laws for the one or two people that are struggling with something. We have to look at the whole picture. And so I think, again, just my take on it is win or lose, we have to stand up and we have to start fire. Holding people accountable, holding our elected officials accountable for representing us. And one way that I really want to do this is to be in contact with my constituents. That's another complaint that I've had, is that my friends and I, and I have a lot of friends who have told me, I emailed Kelly about this and I emailed about this and I've never gotten responses, unless it's an election year. And then, you know, I'll get a little response sometimes, but we can't be like that. And the thing is, I have the time to do that right now and I'm willing to do it. I want to do it. Even if it's somebody that I don't agree with, I'm happy to converse with you and talk to you about issues, you know, but you have to have that time to do that. And if you don't, then you're going to lose touch with what your constituents really want.
Exactly. And you mentioned something super, super important, being in contact communication. And that's something that I will definitely encourage, you know, to keep your channel of communication open as much as possible. You know, yes, you know, we all do have things in our lives that, you know, we need to take care of and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, our families are always first, you know, and also God is the very first one.
Yes.
You know, the very, very first one. Well, you know, he's watching right here. Yeah. So. Yeah. Then our family, and then, you know, our country. But yeah, I definitely applaud you for that conviction that you have about keeping your channels of communication open for all of your constituents, and because this country has been made with the structuration of government as a representation, and which is something that you will be doing, which is and because everybody, you were elected to represent the people at your district, and because of that, you know, it's like being a missionary. Well, I'm LDS too. You know, I went on my mission and I represented, you know, the Lord, and obviously as such, then my behavior, you know, had to be in a certain way. My, you know, my appearance had to be in a certain way, my integrity and actions had to be in a certain way and everything. So that definitely.
I love that analogy. That's a great analogy, because you're representing the Savior. And by the same token, if I'm elected, I'm representing the people. This government is by the people,
correct,
for the people. And correct, that's why I put that on my campaign signs as a voice for the people, because I really mean it. I want to be a voice for the people to protect their rights and their liberties. That's why we have our government. And it's gotten too big where it's we don't want to be ruled, right? We're not a monarchy. Right. We do not want to be ruled over. We want to be allowed to have our freedoms, and we don't need that constant, mm-hmm, that constant overreach and that constant governing, you know, teach the people correct principles and then let them govern themselves. And,
exactly.
And that's what we want. We want to govern ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it is necessary, you know, and so it's something really quick, you know, it was so funny. A couple of days ago, I saw a meme on Facebook that one of my friends shared, is that there was this person that sued McDonald's because made her fat, you know, and then I'm like, okay, hold on 1 second. So you went to McDonald's and you bought by your own willing choice. You paid for all these cheeseburgers, which, oh my gosh. Anyway.
We have free will and choice.
Right. Yeah. So then why blame, and a lot of people do this, you know, like, God, you know, it was a trial that God gave me or something, you know, or the devil made me do it, or your responsibility. And it's true what you said, is like, we were created for us to make our own decisions and to be responsible and to do all these things that will make us, you know, better.
Yeah, choices have consequences, and that's the thing. Sometimes I feel like we're getting away from the accountability of our choices and the consequences of that.
Exactly.
Accountability. I truly believe that accountability and truth are compassion, and when we're not holding people accountable, or when we're not telling people the truth about certain things, we're not being compassionate to them. Because how do you learn if you're not accountable for your choices? How do you learn as a parent? That's something that we had to do with our kids. You know, everybody does that with their kids. My husband grew up really poor, like trailer farm, trailer park. He lived in a trailer on a farm in Mesquite, Nevada. He grew up until he was 12, and then they moved to St. George. And as we've had kids and gotten success through our own hard work, we've thought, how do we give this to our kids? How do you give your kids a sense of hard work without, because you want to spoil your kids, you know, you want to give them things you didn't have, but how do you give them that without spoiling them? And so we, like, my kids had a paper route when they were 12 years old. We made them, like, if they had things they wanted to buy, like an Xbox, they had to buy that. They had to buy their gas. And then when they hit college, we had saved for college for them, but my first son, he came back from his mission and kind of went to school and didn't really put the effort into it. And he failed a few classes. And I was like, no, we're not doing this. We're not just paying for your school. I said, you're going to work all summer. You're going to make the money for school. You pay for school. As soon as you, you get your grades back, if you get A's and B's, we will reimburse you that money. And it made him be accountable for his choices. It made him have skin in the game. To be like, that costs money. I need to actually be able to finish school and do good so that I can, you know, get a job. And so it helped him to learn that accountability. And I feel like sometimes, like, if we're going to offer, like, I know Democrats want to give free college to everyone. What skin in the game do they have? I look at that and I just think, no, we can't do that. We have to, accountability is compassion. And that's how people learn, is from the accountability of their choices. And sometimes they're hard lessons. Yeah. They really are.
Right. You mentioned something super important here, and it is the accountability, and it is the outcome of the choices that people have made. Mm-hmm. I have heard out there, and this goes along the lines with you saying that we cannot be the silent majority. Mm-hmm. I have heard people say, oh my gosh, I'm lazy and I don't know. Politics is just way too much for me. Or people are not going to understand me, you know, because I'm this, and that. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you one thing. We get what we deserve. You know what I'm saying? Because if we don't get off the couch, if we don't concentrate on, gosh, our state is in trouble. Dang it. You know, yeah. if you don't really pay attention to what is going on, maybe there's people that are seeing how much trouble our country and state are.
Yeah.
That it's like just way too much for you, or, you know, you'd rather just to think about something else and not help out, then, you know, that's one of the reasons why I applaud you, you know, for what you are doing. You took a stand, you were looking at the issues, and yeah, go Katie Hall, please vote for her.
Thank you.
You know, my goodness gracious.
Thank you.
You know, we really definitely, you know, if you are a conservative and you want to take a stand, please do so. Please run for office. Please go and fight for your country.
Yeah,
definitely.
We need more people to step up and do that and step up and do things like you're doing. I love that you just do this, and
no, thank you.
It's so cool.
Thank you. Well, you know, one of the things that made me decide to do this podcast is, I don't have way too much time, you know, as much as I would love, you know, to go on rallies or to go here and there, you know, just like others do. And I would love to do that. And I have so many things in my head that I want to do, but, you know, I have, you know, my wife and children, and I have my job, and I have, you know, I'm a
priority right now, right?
Yeah. And I'm also an entrepreneur.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, actually we have some sponsors that I need to actually mention. So let me just go ahead and do that really quick. We're going to go for a little break. And then, all right, guys, we'll go ahead and mention our sponsors today. Solidify Web. We will bring a website for you today. Do you have a business? Do you have an idea? Call us today, 801-869-0523, or go to our website, solidifyweb.com. And our next sponsor of today will be Nacho Graphics. If you have your business and you want to make it look great, please call us, nachographics.com, 801-869-0523. Also, if you want to learn more about how to keep our voting system secure, please go to this website, securevoteutah.org. And you will find out more information about how to counterattack the vicious leftist agenda. SecureVoteUtah.org. All right. So, Katie, we're back with you.
Well, thanks. One thing I wanted to say to you, like I think sometime you should get into politics. There's a time and a season for everything, right? And yeah. I feel like before this year or before about last year, I would not have had the time or the energy to do this. And it's just the perfect timing. So you kind of, that has to weigh into decisions to go into politics too, as far as timing. And you do have the time to do the job well. So exactly. But you should do it sometime.
Yeah, it is in the plan. You know, I've been a state delegate for like 8 years already.
That's awesome.
I did that. And it was definitely a fantastic experience. I got to meet so many people, most of them have been on my show already. I started with the podcast, like just audio, last year. I started doing Facebook Lives as of January. And then, I'll just go ahead and continue and see where it takes me and just keep that up.
So great.
Yeah. So, okay. Coming back to the topic, Katie, and women in office, you know, how great and how fantastic it is. One of the things that I was going to mention is that Utah, in its history, we had the first voting woman ever in our country. Yeah. And there is a painting in the House of Representatives, and I'm sure you've seen it, and I'm sure you're very familiar with that painting. I don't remember the name of her, but yeah, it is actually... what was that?
I can't remember her name either.
But, you know, it is a fantastic way to demonstrate that, you know, regardless of who you are, you can definitely... go in office and show what you're made of, you know. Correct. You know, one really cool analogy that I also talk a lot about is and defeats the fallacies of the left as far as the system in our country is the following. God has created the United States of America just exactly the same way he created the earth. And I'm going to tell you why. When you go and you plant a seed into the earth, you plant it, you put water on it, you put fertilizer, it will grow. And it doesn't matter what race, what gender you are, if either men or no one, because there's only two genders, men and women.
Agreed.
Not very specific. The plant will grow. The plant will grow. If you're Hispanic, you know, me being Hispanic, I can go and plant the seed. It's going to grow. Yeah. If I till it, if I work really well to make it, it will grow. Because the earth does not matter, doesn't care who you are.
Right.
If you're a good farmer, then it will grow.
Yeah.
Okay. It just drives me insane how the left says, well, the system only benefits only, you know, for white people. No.
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 No. No.
Oh, no.
We can acknowledge that our country wasn't perfect when it started. It for sure wasn't perfect. There was issues. There was slavery. There was definitely problems when it started. But in my lifetime, there has been more freedoms than we've ever had, and now you come to the last maybe 10 years, we're feeling so divided and so, there's so much conflict when we have so many freedoms that are available to everyone, no matter your race, color, creed, gender preference, or sexual preference. But we're more divided than ever right now. And that's, that's alarming to me. That's sad. It's a sad thing that's happening with our country right now. And you mentioned earlier that there are two genders, or two sexes. I agree. There are only two sexes. And you also mentioned Ketanji Brown earlier. And I have, I think that's great that we have a Black woman on the Supreme Court. I have no issues with that at all. I just don't think that it should have been announced, virtue signaled by the president, that I'm only going to look at these candidates. Like that, that right there is setting you up for, like, how do we know that she is the best candidate? And then, and the fact that, that when they were asking her about things, how she would not even define a woman, and she said, I'm not a biologist. How can I define a woman? I was like, oh, follow that up with, okay, you just said you're not a biologist. So being a woman does have something to do with biology. You just, she just admitted that when she said that. And so we, it's just fascinating that, that these kind of topics are what is fueling all of the debate and the contention that, that goes on in this country when we can't even define what a woman is. It's an adult female. It's an adult female. And yes, there are people that have issues with gender dysphoria and no wonder, because we give such mixed signals to our kids nowadays. Mm-hmm. We tell them, be accepting of who you are, you know, accept yourself for who you are, but then don't accept your biology for what it is. Those are confusing signals. And so yeah, there's no wonder that, that, that the trans, people who are confused, you know, have gender confusion and stuff are, there's more and more of them nowadays, because we're giving these kids all these mixed signals and no definite, not definite definitions. You can, you like from biology, from my biology classes as a kid or in high school and college, there is XX and there is XY and male and female. And it's so strange to me that we're going away from that just based on the way someone feels in their mind. I have, if you are a male and you feel like you like to do women things, that's fine. I'm a female and I like to do a lot of things that men like to do. I love to play sports. I love to, to do all these things. That doesn't make me a man. It doesn't make me a man. I think it's just, it goes back to that truth is compassion. If we're not telling kids the truth, how can they go on with their, with life and deal with all the things that they have to deal with? Anyway, there's a lot to be said about that. And it is a tough issue. It for sure is. And I think we can create a space like with House Bill 11. And I know you've talked to Kira Berkland on your podcast about this and things and other people about this. I'm not opposed to creating an intramural league or something for kids. Absolutely. I mean, when there's enough of them to create something like that. But in the meantime, we cannot say, oh, all the rest of you girls and women, we're going to put you to the side. We don't care about your feelings. We only care about these one or two kids in the school who are having these feelings. We don't care about how you feel about it. Like, how is that right either? You know? It's a huge issue. And it's one that has implications clear down the road too.
Right.
It's only taken 10 years for the NCAA. They only made their rule that transgender women could compete on a women's team 10 years ago. 10 or 11 years ago, if they did all these things with hormone therapy and things, it only took 10 years before you have a man that has won the NCAA swimming championship for the 500. 10 short years. Wow. And I don't love the governor's argument that, oh, there's only a handful of kids here in Utah. Yeah. This year, and then next year there'll be 10, and next year there'll be 25. And then the next year after that, women's sports goes away. Women's sports goes away. Oh. It's only been 32 years since since soccer was first introduced in the high schools in Utah for women. I was on the first women's soccer team at my high school the first year they had it as a senior, because it didn't exist before I was a senior. And that was only 32 years ago. And we're in danger of losing that. And that, to be honest, is one of the big issues that pricked me up to want to run for office, is that when the bill came up last year to protect women's sports for women in 2021, our Mr. Miles voted against it. And I was like, wait, what's going on? Are my conservative that I voted for voted against saving women's sports?
Yep.
And then this year, when it came through again, it came through his committee, the House Bill 11 that it is this year, it came through his committee the first time in January that they would allow for males to play female sports if they changed their birth certificate and did a year of hormone therapy. That's the bill that came out first. And a lot of people don't realize that. And it came through Kelly Miles' committee and Kara Berkland's committee. And when I asked him why he voted for that, he said, I voted for it because Kira is really passionate about it and she asked me to. And that to me was
wow. Yeah, that's exactly what I heard too.
Do you have an opinion on it? Like, you don't just vote for things because somebody wants you to, but okay. And then as it went on the House floor, they rejected that one. It came through with the commission that they were going to do, where they would have a commission that decided on it. And they fought about that over, you know, back and forth over and over until the last day of the legislature. And then they couldn't come up with a compromise. And so then they just went to the complete, no, they don't, like, males play male sports, females play female sports.
Mm-hmm.
And it went through, and Kelly did, I will give him credit that he did vote for it this year. But again, we're in an election year. So
mm-hmm.
You can decide whether or not that's why he voted for it or not. he did vote. I'll give him credit. He voted for it this year, but I think too, it's because he got pushback from me and from other constituents finally about mm-hmm. this. But it's not an issue that would have taken me 2 years to come to, like, right away. Sure. It's, I don't think that it should be allowed. And as a female athlete, I have a vested interest in that as well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that I went on a long story for you.
that's fine. And that's exactly what we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
You know, because we really need your constituents need to find out what you stand for.
Yeah.
And it is imperative for you to be accountable and let everybody know what's in here and what's in here too.
Yeah. Well, and when I first started talking to people and they were asking me why I was running against an incumbent Republican, and I would tell them. I would tell them this story, you know, and they were like, he voted against that. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, what else? And he also sponsored a bill last year that changed Dixie State's name to Utah.
Oh my gosh. That I didn't know.
Yeah. He sponsored that bill. He was the one that took that on and sponsored it. And for me, that is like, I feel like in our community, that's where his interests should lie. And the people in St. George, that's a big change. That's a big bill. And they did not want it. The people of St. George did not want that. The vast majority of the people did not want that. And they tried to fight it. They did all these things to try to fight it. And I thought, I was naive enough last year when I heard that the bill was coming through. I was like, oh, these cancel culture, the cancel culture mob has met its match. Utah is not going to do this. Utah is not going to fall for changing Dixie State's name just because you think the word Dixie is a racist word. Like, why are we redefining the word Dixie? It just means the south of Utah. That's why they named it that. And I was like, they've met their match. Utah is not going to do this. And I felt completely betrayed by our legislature, that they just listened only to the special interests interest groups about of education or whatever, and voted for this to happen. And that my legislator was the one that sponsored the bill. I was like, what is going on here? And so that was another one that like really made me want to jump in, because you're not representing conservative values. Conservatives, they would not have wanted that. And I want my legislator to concentrate on things that are in my area. And yes, you have to do some things that are for the whole state, but that big of a bill should have been sponsored by someone in St. George, one of their legislators, but nobody would touch it. None of them would touch it. So, because they knew it was so controversial and they wouldn't get elected again if they did. Anyway, and then there's lots of bills, and I could go through all of them, but the one other big one was the tax bill in 2019 that was passed in a special session. Kelly voted for that as well, and it took a referendum of the people going around getting signatures and spending money to overturn that tax bill. And that's not something that a conservative would be voting for either. Like, there's just been lots of things like that where I'm like, I just don't know that time and consideration has been taken in finding out what the constituents in your area want and how you should vote on things. And those are all the other big reasons why I decided to add that in.
No, that's great. And like I said, it was a fantastic decision that you did. And now the bar is definitely has been raised, you know, in order for you to, you know, to take over and see. And now I'm just, you know, saying this, you know, because, you know, we live pretty much in the same area.
Yeah.
You know, just stick to the real conservative values that you have.
Stick
to those through, not just because you want to get elected, just because for the sake of the representation and the mantle that you will take.
Exactly. Exactly. I feel like if I didn't do that, I should be totally held accountable for that. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I have a responsibility to do that for all these people that are helping support me. And the job is just the job. Like, I don't love the limelight. I don't love, this kind of thing is new to me, and I'm learning so much as I go through this process. It's really difficult for me to like stand up in front of people and speak without getting really nervous, but I'm getting better at it because it's so important to me. This is really important to me. And so those are things I've had to really work on over the last few months. And I'm not going to say everything perfect, and I may not vote for everything exactly the way every single person in the constituency would want me to. We don't all think exactly alike, but I feel like if I concentrate on my conservative principles and I look at bills, in a conservative way, then I can't make those decisions wrong. And I also don't feel like this is just my job. I feel like this is a job that people need help with. I can't know everything on every subject. There's just too much out there. There was 1,000 bills that over 1,000 bills that were up for debate this last legislative session. And you can't know everything about 1,000 bills. So I want help from people in my constituency. I want them to tell me, hey, this is up, and these are the things I like about it, and these are the things I don't. Because I think sometimes when you get down to the legislature, they only hear from the lobbyists down there. They only hear from the special interest groups that have the money and the time to be down there, to be in their ear all the time. Well, I want to hear from my people. I want to hear from my people how they think about it, not just the special interest groups down there. And I think that's what a true representative is supposed to do. Yes. You are supposed to represent your people.
Agree, 100%.
right?
No, yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. And like, once more, I applaud you for your intentions, and I applaud you for your feelings about this mantle that you will take upon yourself. I encourage you, and as a U.S. citizen, I demand those type of traits from a representative like you. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here with me in this wonderful show. I appreciate you, and everybody vote for Katie Hall. We will go ahead and see you guys next time. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
What you're doing. I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. And we'll see you guys next Thursday.